Good afternoon, Tracy Morgan with you, and we're continuing our extended news at noon interviews. And today I want to take a few minutes and talk about nonverbal communication. And before you go, what? That's heavy. Now think of it, because you are in stores right now, you have masks on right now, you can't see people's mouths or smiles or faces. Are they mad or are they not? So we're going to talk about that and unravel that today with Emily Dolan. Now, Emily is on the phone with me, and she's an assistant professor of communication at Slippery Rock University. She teaches and researches in the areas of persuasion, interpersonal communication, communication theory as well. Her research is centered on messaging processing, like interpersonal, intrapersonal, and she's appeared in various communication journals, including Media Psychology and Social Influence, and she's won top paper awards at the annual meetings of the International and National Communications Associations. And no, I'm not done. She has a doctorate in communication from the State University of New York at Buffalo, 2017. Emily, welcome to the program. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Thank you for the warm welcome.
I love the area that you study, because I find it fascinating on what we can take and what we do take away subconsciously from people when it comes to nonverbal communication. And the reason I thought to do this interview, because I was in the grocery store the other day, and I'm looking at people and I'm thinking, are they upset? Or are they not? I accidentally bumped into someone, and then we both kind of went, oh, I'm so sorry. So the vocals there kind of told us both that we weren't angry at each other. And are you finding that we're missing a lot of that right now as we're trying to work our way through this and trying to communicate with each other?
Absolutely. And I think nonverbal communication is a really interesting thing to be looking at right now, because nonverbal communication is anything other than words that convey meaning. And so that's a lot. It includes our facial expressions, our movement, our eye behaviors, like eye contact, vocal characteristics, so our tone of voice, inflection, pitch, rate of speech, even things like how we use our time, our use of space and distance, and even the clothes we wear, or the masks we wear right now, would count as nonverbal communication. And it's a really influential source of meaning. Of course, we have the words that we say.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I want to get to words in a moment, because reading just words without the vocals is one thing. And I want to get to the body and the vocal usage in a moment. But you said masks. I never thought of masks as a way that we're communicating with each other. What are you seeing there?
We're all wearing masks right now. So, for instance, the clothes we wear, for instance, could count as nonverbal communication. That's certainly a form. And so now you're starting to see, I think, some expression personally in terms of the masks we wear. I know I'm a big fan of U2, the band.
Mm-hmm.
So my mask is a U2 mask. I see people with, masks of with flowers on them and things like that. So, even though I think that in some ways, especially when it comes to like being in the store, our nonverbals are limited, right? Masks cover over half of our faces. We're sort of making up for that in other ways as well.
So explain, well, first of all, in the introduction, I said that you study interpersonal and intrapersonal. So give us some education first, and what's the difference between those two?
So interpersonal communication deals with communication between two people. So you having a conversation with your friend, your neighbor. Intrapersonal, and I always have to really pronunciate that because they only differ based on a few letters, is sort of how we think about our interactions, our social world. So it's within ourselves. It's communication within ourselves. So cognitive, the thoughts we have, daydreaming, regulating our emotions, experiencing emotion, this would all count as intrapersonal communication.
So why is nonverbal communication so important, and how we react to each other? And then during this time, are we finding that a lot of that is being taken away from us? And is that increasing our anxiety about what's happening?
So nonverbal communication is a highly influential source of meaning. And so, we have words that we say, but we also have nonverbal behaviors that accompany those words. Things like facial expressions, gestures, eye contact, qualities of our voice. And when we interact with others, we take sort of the verbal aspects and nonverbal aspects of our interaction, and we sort of take those two things together and we derive some form of meaning. And the majority of the meaning that we get in communication situations comes from our nonverbals. I've seen numbers as high as 90% of the message and the meaning that we extract from our interactions comes from nonverbal communication. And it's going along with that, we simply believe it more. We have a lot of control over the words we say, but given that nonverbal communication is anything other than words, and there are so many different things operating at once, like our facial expressions, qualities of voice, eye behaviors, movements, it's really hard to control them. So you can think here of an example. So for instance, your friend has been acting kind of cold and distant, and you decide to approach them face to face and ask them if they're mad at you. And the words that they say might say, no, I'm not mad at you. But as they say that, they cross their arms, they shift their body language away from you, they furrow their brow, and you come out of that situation, even though their words said, no, I'm not mad at you, you take those nonverbals and you're like, oh, they're mad at me. So we can really extract a lot of meaning from nonverbal behaviors. And with that, nonverbal has so many different functions, including social functions, understanding people's motivations, their emotions, establishing liking, and all of these things. And so it's interesting to think right now, obviously this pandemic has affected, you know, most every aspect of our lives, and certainly our social lives are no exception with quarantining and social distancing, wearing masks, and this is definitely affecting the connections that we have to other people. And we're social beings. We crave social interaction. We have this innate need to communicate with others, to belong in groups, to affiliate socially. And so you think about, you know, well, certainly based on quarantining and social distancing, use of space is certainly one aspect of nonverbal behavior. So in stores, we're distancing ourselves from one another. We're wearing masks. And when worn correctly, right, masks go over your nose, and then they're going to cover over half of your face. So right. Now all of a sudden, when it comes to reading other people's facial expressions and things like that, it becomes really difficult. And a major function of nonverbal behavior is to help us assess the situation, better understand what's happening. But what happens when we're distancing ourselves from one another? What happens when everybody in our social environment, you know, has their face covered? And, you know, culturally, we're not used to this. I think it, you know, kind of makes us a little bit nervous and on edge. Before the pandemic, we were able to go into the grocery store, for instance, and take in all of the nonverbal cues. And it helped us sort of feel at ease. We could understand the situation better. We felt less uncertain about our, you know, environment. And, you know, now it's a little different. Obviously, we have to keep physical distance from one another. Our faces are covered with masks. And so we're, you know, if you think about facial expressions, you know, a lot of them derive from the mouth. So smiling, frowning, and so you can't see that. So our ability to derive meaning from social situations is pretty limited now because our access to nonverbal cues is limited.
And I think also that because from an experience that I'm thinking of as you're saying that, I was in the grocery store and sometimes I'll just smile at people just to kind of say, go ahead, or, you know, hi, how you doing? You know, you just smile
too,
without
Tracy.
Words. And I did that the other day, and it takes you a minute as the person mm-hmm. trying to give the smile, thinking I'm behind a mask and they have no clue that I'm trying to be polite in this moment. And then I'm wondering how much, and I know that your focus is nonverbal communication, but during this time, I'm just wondering out loud, if you will, how much that's working on our psyche as the person who's trying to relay the nice message because nobody's seeing it.
I know. I had a very similar situation happen the other day when I was at the store because, you know, obviously if you're smiling at somebody and your mouth is covered, that other person is not able to pick up on that as easily. But I think one thing we can do is keep in mind here that even though our access to others' nonverbal cues is limited based on wearing masks and social distancing, I think we just need to be mindful about shifting our focus when it comes to our own nonverbals that we convey, as well as interpreting others as well. So, for instance, wearing a mask, obviously your nose and a good portion of your cheeks and your mouth are covered, but your eyes are out. And so, you know, this really points to, because we're social beings and because I think we're all trying to navigate this sort of awkward situation that we're really not used to, that kind of makes us feel uncomfortable, it's important to be mindful about the things that we can control nonverbally, our eyes, right? So making eye contact becomes really important. And the eyes are one major way in which we can communicate interpersonal warmth with others. So even though we might not be able to see somebody's mouth, if they're smiling at us, paying attention to their eyes, oftentimes the eyes will sort of function along with the mouth when smiling, so you can sort of pick up on that in the eyes. Eyebrows, too, are a major way in which emotion is carried out
right
through people's faces. Yeah,
Emily, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Emily Dolan is with us, an assistant professor of communication at Slippery Rock, quite the lengthy resume so far. And so if you want to catch that, you can catch that online. And she teaches in areas of persuasion and interpersonal communication and communication theory. And we're talking about nonverbal communication right now. And Emily, I want to ask you, though, I want to shift a little bit. Not only are we having to deal with the lack of nonverbal communication when we're in a social setting or in public, I'll say, because we're not trying to be social at this point, but also online, when we are simply reading words. Now we have no facial expression to go on. We have no vocals to go on. We're only reading words. And I'm wondering how that is affecting us as we continue to walk this time.
Right, Tracy. So even though we're physically distant, we are still communicating, and thank goodness that we have a wealth of technologies available to us to kind of help us fulfill our social needs during this time. We're certainly relying on internet technologies to help us sort of maintain relationships and engage in social interaction. And one thing I really want to point out is that every channel that we use, text messaging, social media, face-to-face communication, video chatting, each one of these channels has a unique set of nonverbal affordances. And these affordances are just being the availability of nonverbal cues in a communication channel. Face-to-face is the richest. You get all of the nonverbals. Something like text messaging, on the other hand, is very low in the availability of nonverbal cues because it's mainly textually based, and you have emojis and things like that, but you don't nearly have as many nonverbal cues as you have in a face-to-face situation. And so you can think here about sarcasm. Sarcasm oftentimes does not land as well in text messaging than it would in a face-to-face situation because there's a lack of nonverbal cues. Oftentimes sarcasm is conveyed through tone of voice, perhaps gestures or facial expressions. And so I think definitely right now, given that we are social beings and we have this innate need to communicate with others, it's really important to be mindful about the channel that you're selecting and the availability and unique set of nonverbal cues that exist within that channel. Because given that a large chunk of the meaning that we derive from messages comes from nonverbal communication, your message, the same verbal message that you're delivering, could be interpreted differently based on the channel. So within channels with low nonverbal cues, like text messaging, that's very much based on, you know, the words that you type, be really mindful about how things could be interpreted, and really try to take advantage of the nonverbal cues available to you, like emojis, for instance.
Emily, let me ask you if you could walk us through any possible solutions to all of this. I mean, we are still going to be in a time, even as we get into the yellow, we'll eventually get into the green phases of where we are in life. But how do we handle this right now? So if we are in a grocery store or a store, and someone's coming the wrong way in a one-way aisle and you're glaring at them, you know, I mean, it's like, how do you handle this? Because we're all stressed, and through my lens, I want to be as polite as possible, but we're all working under quite a bit of stress. So how can we do this? Yeah. Do we just use our eyes? Can we use our tone of voice? I mean, in the grocery store, what do we do?
Yeah, I think right now, you know, we're all under a lot of stress, and certainly when we go out in public situations, it sort of amplifies that. And I think the biggest thing we can do is be patient with one another and sort of understand that we're all kind of, you know, feeling awkward right now. The last time I went to the grocery store, I made it a point to, at my distance, speak to somebody about the yogurt that they were buying because it was my favorite. And, you know, I think that I'm noticing a little bit of a shift in terms of sort of not, I don't want to say awkwardness, but sort of the panic and the just
the alarm, yeah,
that we feel. I feel like it's starting to loosen up a little. I think it's important for us to be patient with one another. I think it's important for us to be really mindful about the ways that we can connect with others. So through our words, you know, despite the fact that our mouths are covered by masks, you can still talk and people can still hear you. You know, gestures and movement as well. You can wave at people. You can nod at them. You can gesture, you know.
Polite
with
gestures.
Your arm to allow someone to go down the aisle.
Polite gestures, you know? Emily, right?
Yeah.
It is a family show.
Yes.
Yeah, right? But yeah, I mean, because a thumbs up could you know, work, a polite, you know, wave of the hand, like, hey, go ahead in front of me. Or what I hear from you is vocals are really important. So what keeps repeating in my head right now as you're talking is, yes, what you say is important, but it's how you say it is even more important.
100%, Tracy, you're absolutely right. And so I just think that we can still establish social contact. We can make things a little less awkward. We can still affiliate with other people, even with social distancing, even with masks. But we need to be aware of the limitations that exist nonverbally right now, and sort of focus our attention on the nonverbal cues that are available to us. So, you know, I'm a grocery store smiler, and, you know, it sounds like you are too. So it's hard because you want to smile and people can't really tell, but, you know, sort of shifting that, you know, still smiling underneath your mask, but really trying to convey that smile through your eyes, you know, just showing kindness and warmth and you know, social affiliation in ways other than, you know, what we're typically used to. And I think just being mindful about it, being patient with one another, it will help. And I think that we'll all sort of get used to this as we sort of navigate this together. I think we all feel kind of weird and awkward. And I think if we all just go into it being like, okay, this is kind of strange. I feel a little awkward and weird. But if we all sort of make an effort to, you know, convey social affiliation with one another in the ways that we can control,
right?
I think that it will kind of help.
And I do go back to the point of the masks, because if we are seeing a mask that makes us uncomfortable, maybe that makes us think twice about what we are wearing. Maybe a smile and a mask, or flowers, like you said, or butterflies, or whatever it is, can help relay our message to other people. And that's part of what I wanted to do, is just talk to you today too, because a lot of us don't think about, you and I may, but we don't think about nonverbal communication when we walk out the door. But maybe this kind of conversation will help people out there keep in mind what communication they are giving off to people. What are people receiving on the other end of what we individually are doing? So I think
exactly.
Yeah.
Really important thing.
Yeah. So, you know what, Emily, we are almost out of time. So I just want to make sure that I thank you. And so plans for Slippery Rock in the fall? I know you're not here to talk about necessarily the plans, but you're planning on still teaching in the fall. Is that correct?
I will be there in the fall, yes.
Okay. So how do we check with Slippery Rock to see how we can be a part of one of your classes?
Well, I am teaching some of my favorite classes next semester. I teach an intro class, intro to communication concepts. You would get a whole week on nonverbal communication there. I teach a class in civil discourse. And by getting onto the Slippery Rock website, you can see all of our course offerings across the university, as well as in the communication department. And the communication department is really somewhere that you can start to sort of delve into these ideas of social processes and human behavior.
Emily Dolan, an assistant professor of communications at Slippery Rock University. Any final thoughts you want to leave with us today?
Well, I want to thank you, Tracy. And I guess I want to leave off by saying that there's no doubt that this pandemic has affected our social lives and a lot of different ways, but I think it's important for us to be patient with one another, mindful about the cues that we're giving off, and so we can more effectively and successfully navigate our social world together.
Emily Dolan, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Tracy.